This is my number one in the power rank. Like, if I had a Mount Rushmore of songs I've sang...
Without knowing the words?
Yeah. Like, I have sang this song 100 times, full made-up lyrics, singing gobbledygook. Like... 100 times at least. Well, it's Daniele's ox score today.
It's a great way to lead a show that Ailish isn't here for, because every song is that for her.
Man, I'm telling you though, I'm just making sounds when I sing this song. Like, it's never any word. This guy's actually probably singing something beautiful. Mm-hmm. I have no clue. I'm just.
What is it? Porti Volare?
Yeah. Great track. Way to start the show today with a banger, Daniele. Way to go. I needed that energy today. Although I did almost swear. I did almost say hard something and then start the show, and that would have not been the best. You know, I've dropped a couple on here.
A couple what?
A couple bombs.
Swear words?
Yeah.
Yeah, there might have been one yesterday.
No.
Yeah, the B word.
Oh, you know what, though? I just kind of say the B word on here, and no one's ever told me not to, because it's like... You can't say the B word like you're a B word.
Yeah.
But you can say...
As in complaining.
Yep. And the great Canadian bad boy has figured out like ways of...
See,
you know.
I'm still very unclear on this. We're like, I'm referring to the goalie as Connor H.E. double hockey sticks the buck. Yeah. I don't know. Can I... Is the hell word...
I try to avoid the taking the Lord's name in vain stuff. Not because I'm religious at all. But because it does get complaints, and it's one of those things where I'm like, all right, if it's offending you, then I'm going to try to avoid it. Happens once in a while, though. It does. What can you do? You know, you can't please everybody in this business, all right? I actually think that there are certain things that you just shouldn't say, like, obviously, on a public airwaves.
Yeah, here we go. Friday morning, 6 a.m. Let's go through the words we're not allowed to say.
Yeah, you know what? It's Friday. Let's do it. Let's start with
text in the words you don't want. You don't think we should say on the air.
Yeah, tweet us. What's the borderline word that you think?
I like that though. It's like the Antoine Walker line of like anyone better than Antoine Walker is good. Yeah. Anyone worse than Antoine Walker is bad. Yeah. He's the divide. He's like the membrane of goodness. What is your membrane swear word?
Well, like, ass used to be a swear, and now it's like you just say it and it's really no big deal, and it sounds childish if you're like, and you fell on your butt or your bum. Like, there's no other word. It's just ass. If you're a grown adult, you have to say it. And if you were talking to your kids, what age where you say stop saying bum? And then it's like, if your kid was like 6 years old and you're like, oh, did you fall on your bum? They'd be like, come on, I'm 6. Stop referring to me like a toddler, an infant. Anyways.
That's a great vocabulary for a 6-year-old.
Yeah, I know.
Mom, kids, can we raise the discourse at the dinner table?
The kids these days, man, they've got more access to things online. Who knows? They're more mature. They're just more mature. Yeah,
probably all sorts of new words for bum and butt that you don't even know.
I know. God, I don't want to lose it. I don't want to lose it. I want to stay young forever. I still want the cool world.
I'll tell you what. Doing a 6 to 10 a.m. sports radio show where you have no life because all you do is watch sports and do the radio show.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's going to help your hip factor.
Man, it's like getting to the weekend now, too. You got to pack things in. You got to be social. Otherwise, you're just, you're a corpse. That's all you are. You're just a walking corpse.
I looked at my calendar for this weekend, and it's like, oh, I have a lot of stuff. That'll be fun to see everyone and hate it.
But I have to tie in social things with sports things, too.
Yes.
And that's kind of the worst as well, because then people are talking to you about sports, and you just want to talk about anything else.
This is where I'm going to the Raps game with my brother tonight, and he won't. Like, he likes basketball, but he's not going to, like, ask me a million questions. He's going to have a couple beers and watch the game.
By the way, I think we should say that Ailish isn't here again, just so that she's not just sitting there in silence, everybody.
It would be hard to tell anyway.
Ailish, oh, that was fun, actually. I kind of like that. We should have gotten more Ailish drops, like, just for having things she says.
Someone messaged me the other day and was like, I listen to the show at, like, 2x speed on the podcast where you can get anywhere you get your podcasts, rate and review. I thought it was a weird DM for the person to say all that stuff, but hey, listen to them. But he said that the Ailish drops at 2x speed are ridiculously funny.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. I listen to my podcast 2x speed. I'm one of those lunatics. I can't help it. 1.5 minimum. Like, anybody who listens slower than that, you got too much time on your hands. But yeah, subscribe to this podcast. Follow us at JD Bungus at, well, God, E. Blake Murphy on Twitter.
No.
Damn it.
E. Blake Murphy on Instagram, Blake Murphy ODC on Twitter.
I'll just let you do it from now on.
Yeah. Fan 590 for the show.
Search Blake Murphy.
Yeah.
Don't even, just don't even bother. Just follow us, you know? Yeah. Like, I don't care about here. Like, you do whatever you got
to
do.
Well, they tweet out our handle, so it's easier to just give one.
That's a good point. So,
and Ailish Forfar, send her a nice message.
Yeah, send Ailish a nice message. Say, we miss you. And these guys are terrible. I can't wait for her to come back and get her parents' review of us.
That's not happening.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Because it's not going to be a great review, and she's not going to tell us.
Wow, so you're already on team it's not going to be a great review.
How could it be?
I don't know. Who do you think they like more?
She has to sit here and get talked over by the two of us 4 hours a day.
Yeah, that's true. Every time we cut her off. Let our daughter speak.
They don't care, but it's not good behavior.
Yeah, it's true. So, Leafs lose again. Oof.
Yeah, speaking of not good behavior.
Well, 3 of 4 losses. And we're looking at it now like, hey, they didn't have Marner, and the Wild game was a good comeback, and it was a shootout. But their last 3 games where they've played good teams, they've lost. And I'm trying to reconcile with that. I'm trying to kind of parse through this in terms of like what I care about, what I don't. I have 3 things today that I would say are causes not for necessarily concern, but some are. I could do a concern index today, actually.
Leafs concern index?
I could steal your concern index. I hadn't thought about this, but I was like, yeah, I have 3 things that are bugging me right now. 3 things that I think the Leafs need to do.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah.
So, okay, pass the mic over. So, concern index, for any Leaf fans who haven't listened to our Raptors concern index, is basically an occasional check-in where something is going wrong or something hasn't been as great as we hoped, and we're going to give it a rating from 0 to 5 in terms of how concerned we are. Which
5 is bad?
0, yes, 5 is bad. 0 is, why are you talking about this on a radio show? Mm-hmm. And 5 is, why are you not shutting down this radio show and going to stuff Kyle Dubas in his locker to get this fixed kind of thing? The answer is probably for that one, because Kyle Dubas would beat you up. But... Or have Kyle Clifford just like backing him, like a heavy behind him in his office chair. That's how I picture it. Uh-huh. So 0 to 5, 0 least concerned, 5 most concerned.
Uh-huh.
Toronto Maple Leafs have lost 3 out of their last 4.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to start with what I think will be a more temperate one, a milder one. With no Mitch Marner at 5-on-5, Austin Matthews' lines have been a little underwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
Where's your concern on that?
2.
Okay.
Well, it's not low. Zero. It's not zero. And this is the only thing. So I haven't really loved Austin Matthews lately. And I've been kind of biting my tongue because he's one of those players where you're not allowed to criticize them. And people act like you're nuts and they go, this is the goals and these are the stats. And he has been putting up goals, right? Like, the season on a whole looks pretty Austin Matthews-ish.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, if the Maple Leafs are going to take an... And this has been something that I've been really thinking of actually more so since the Winnipeg game, right? Where he was not really engaging in any of the rough stuff other than he got mugged by Pierre-Luc Dubois and then didn't really stick up for himself, just kind of like, get off of me, and then skates away and was like, good, the refs are here. I want to feel a little bit more force from Matthews. And it's not, I guess, you know what? I'm going to even take this down to a 1 because it's really not enough time.
Yeah.
I'm going to take it down to a 1. 2 is me trying to over-exaggerate it. I'm really not, like, concerned about Austin Matthews as being kind of nuts.
Yeah.
But I sort of think this is someone we've been comparing to Connor McDavid in the past. This is someone where we've wondered where exactly he stands amongst the league's best players. And frankly, if the Leafs are going to win a Stanley Cup, I think that he needs to be a force. And there have been a couple of games now. And it hasn't just even been recently. I mean, like, this season, where I don't think there's been enough force. And one of the things I want to find out with no Mitch Marner is, how does this line operate without him? What do they look like without Mitch Marner? What does he look like without an elite winger? Because normally he's had one of Nylander and one of Marner basically his entire career. So what is it going to look like now when they've got a cycled through player and a Michael Bunting, or they're shifting him around and trying to find different looks? And it's kind of, It's just one of those things where I want to feel like you are the best player on the ice in every single game. And for example, last night, I thought Stamkos played with a lot of force, right? This is a guy where people are talking about him. He's buzzing right now. And I didn't feel that from Matthews last night. And I haven't felt that from Matthews for a couple of games now. And he's been good. He's Austin Matthews. He's going to score goals.
Yeah, Austin Matthews' floor is remarkably high.
Exactly. And so that's why it's like you can't really have it as a high concern. But I do want to, I'd like to see a little bit of an evolution from the player. Sure. Like, I'd like to see it where it's like in all sports where your best players come back with just a little bit of extra something. I haven't really seen what the extra something is from Matthews. And I know that he had surgery during the offseason. It was a difficult one for him, but I'd like to see like a little bit more physical play from him. I'd love to see a little bit more hitting. I'd like to see a little bit more nastiness to his game and just, yeah, some more dominant shifts where it really does feel like, again, games where Matthews is the best player. And frankly, I've had a bunch of games this year where I've thought other guys are the best player. And I don't want to feel that way. He's the face of the franchise.
Mm-hmm. So zoom out a little bit. He's got 14 points over this 8-game point scoring streak.
Power play.
Four without Marner. He's got 7 points in those games, but five of those points are on the power play.
Yep.
So in two of the last three games, he had only 3 shots on net, which that's going to happen sometimes, but that's a little uncharacteristic for him.
Don't love that.
And that's not just a 5-on-5, that's total. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, to his credit, he's playing a lot more minutes with Marner out. He's hit 24 twice in these last four games. And I'm sure if I dug in, the difficulty of those minutes is a little higher. The difficulty of those minutes is naturally higher when you don't have Marner on your wing anyway. The five on five play, those Matthews lines could nudge a little higher. Although we might not be talking about this if any of the like five pucks that almost bounced in off of Bunting last night went in the net.
Dude, honestly though, it's something a little bit unquantifiable with him too, because his counting stats and his numbers and. It's funny, I'll do this a billion times. I've done this rant already a million times. But hockey analytics are basically, do you shoot the puck or are you on the ice when someone else shoots the puck a lot? We kind of over-exaggerate what we learn from some of these things, especially in a league where there's changes on the fly. But with Matthews, his numbers are always going to look good because he's got a nasty wrist shot. He can score goals. He's going to play on this power play that's now clicking a ton. He knows that he's got maybe the best, well, I shouldn't say the best shot in hockey. He's got the best wrist shot in hockey. And so his numbers are always going to look solid and he's a good player. I'm really not trying to, I like people listen to sports radio. They listen to a podcast. They hear someone get criticized and they always think about it in these extremes of like a guy is the best or the guy is a bum, right? No, I'm not saying Austin Matthews has been playing like a bum lately.
He has
no question.
Very high baseline and you're asking him to just play above the baseline a little bit more. At 5-on-5. I'm going to keep saying at 5-on-5 because the power play has been ridiculous and that's something that's going to come up. We'll close the concern index with almost like a reverse concern index. Next on the concern index. So Jack Campbell has started 21 games now this year and appeared in 22. His career high for starts is 26 for an entire season. He's at 21 here in, what is it, December 10th. In each of the last four games, he's given up 3 goals or more after doing that 3 times prior to that in the season. So three times in 18 games and now 4 of 4. What is your concern index with Jack Campbell? And look, one of those games was still a 37 save performance against the Wild. But what is your concern index with Jack Campbell maybe fatiguing a little bit, maybe just regressing a little bit?
5.
Oh,
five,
boy.
5 out of 5. Not because I think that he's just like dead out there. And this is being now a little bit sports radio. So it was like, when it's the best and worst. Now I'm zagging because I went with the other thing. Now it's boring.
You're JD Bungus, man. Yeah. If this long into the show, people aren't expecting a little bit of that.
Here's the thing, Jack. I think a lot of people noticed Jack Campbell looked tired last night. Like he didn't have that same pop to his game, that same athleticism to his game. And do I love that player right now? Because he, late in that game, when the Leafs are back in it, he does the same thing that I've come to become accustomed to with Jack Campbell, which is, hey, when the going gets tough and it's a tight game in the third period, he is not going to let in that backbreaker. He's just done it over and over and over again. And it's been sort of the story of these games that they've lost, right? Like, if you look at the Minnesota Wild game, they get back in it because Jack Campbell is incredible. They've done well. He has let them come back by being good, even if he has let these goals in early. So I'm not concerned with his play. I don't think that he's regressing. This is a 5 because this is a question I've been asking insiders over and over and over again. I went on Real Kipper and Bourne last week, and we were shooting around the idea that Kypros had raised of, hey, they signed Mrazek. Maybe it was a little bit of an overpay. Can they downgrade at that position in terms of a slight downgrade, but get a better cap picture? And what I asked Nick was, what was the impetus for paying Mrazek that contract? Because I think we all looked at it and went, wow, that's actually a much bigger contract than we thought it was going to be, both in per year and the term of the contract. Watching Jack Campbell right now and wondering whether you can pay this guy or do all these things, I wonder if it was an organizational decision about the fatigue, right? Where you looked at it and said, this guy cannot handle this workload and not break down. We have data, we have information on this guy that really does tell us, dude, we don't want you playing close to 55 games. We want you in more of a split, not because we don't think that you can handle the play when you're in there, but we just think that you are going to wear down. And it's 5 out of 5 because now you've had Joe Wall in there for a bunch of time. Mrazek's been hurt this entire time, and you've been keeping asking him to go in there and play and play and play and play. And we're at a spot now where you just said it. He's careening towards passing his career numbers by a massive amount. And maybe it's because we're Toronto and we live in the Kawhi Leonard place where everything is looked at through the filter of rest him, rest him, rest him, that I am a five, and that other markets would go, hey, man, he just gets a couple of extra games off when Mrazek comes back and be fine. I just like the way it's trending.
Yeah, Mrazek, the Marlies play the next three days in a row. I would assume Mrazek gets at least one of those starts. Yep. He didn't, the numbers, I didn't watch the game, but the numbers were a little shaky in his first conditioning start, but it's a conditioning start.
He's going to be with the team on this West Coast road trip. He's going to be playing games. They're going to have him back. And,
well, I think you can only do three games on the conditioning stint anyway. So, and I doubt they're going to play him on a back-to-back with the Marlies. So tonight might be it.
I'm not concerned with Jack's play.
Yeah.
I just want to make that clear because what goal are you blaming him for last night?
Right.
Which one last night did you think was bad? He's been solid.
Yeah.
He's really, really come up and played well. I'm just worried about the toll that's on him, and I haven't really thought about it much until the one Joe Wall game against Winnipeg where you went, boy, if you're thinking about not having Mrazek or a competent backup behind him.
Yeah, you're back to the Hutchinson thing of like, this is a schedule loss, and if you pull it out like you did against the Sabres.
Can't have it.
It's a miracle. So did you see Jack Campbell's postgame, by the way?
I didn't know.
He got asked any particular goal you'd like to have back, and he said,
horrible.
And he winked at the camera.
He winked?
Yeah, he gave a little wink.
That's good, because in the past, you know, Jack has been, and I do believe that this is part of his evolution as a starter.
You can't have the low lows, right? You got to have
that even. To wink at the camera is good.
Yeah. Mrazek probably won. Maybe they can manage to get him two more conditioning starts, but that'll at least solve the who's in there when Campbell's not.
Mm-hmm.
Weird thing. So in terms of his fatigue over the year, like obviously there's not a control group here because he had been a backup at times or a split time guy. And if a team was worried about that, maybe they didn't overwork him. So maybe this is protected, but in his career, December is his worst month, .890 save percentage in his career in December. And then every other month looks just fine. So it's not a trend downward over the season. And again, we're chopping up goalie samples that are noisy anyway into smaller samples here. But I just want to tee up that there is not a large trend of this guy gets worse as the season goes on. So if you're worried about that, hopefully Mrazek's return helps him manage that a little bit. So next on the concern index, related to the Jack Campbell thing, and I think potentially the real reason underneath why Jack Campbell has allowed more goals the last four games, the Muzzin Hall pairing is looking bad once again. And on nights like last night where you already have Rubens in the game and I didn't think Brody had a great game, you break up that pairing and there's just not an answer right now for what's going on with... I mean, Hall is obviously a bigger problem. We've talked about a lot more. Muzzin, for whatever reason, has lost some of his ability to move the puck out of the zone. But that pairing, they keep going back to it and it looks not great. Where's your concern level on the Muzzin Hall pairing?
It would be higher if I didn't think Hall was either going to get traded or eventually end up as the team's sixth defenseman. I'll say this. It's actually a little tiny smidgen less because I've liked Rubens in these last two games. I actually think, like, I notice him.
You like the Latvian guy?
I I know. That's the worst part about it. But, like, no, the dude is big.
No, he's been fine.
He's been in front of the net.
He's and around action.
I figured that he was going to come up and be a soft big guy. Like, he was going to be like a Marincin type, where it was, hey, he's big, but also the reason why he's not here is because he's a soft big. You know, he's like, we put him in front of the net and people are beating him around and he's like, he's getting pushed around, bullied and whatever. I haven't noticed that with this guy. And it's been sheltered minutes and it's been very few minutes. And so, you know, you're not reading in a ton so far to Rubens. But I will say that so far, he checks a few boxes. And one of them is that he can skate and he moves the puck all right. And he's a big body. And I kind of look at him and go, huh, I wonder how much of the decision right now for this organization to say that they could take a bit of a, we take a step back with a Dermott or a Hall and we shuffled one of those guys out, was because they were all ready to promote this guy. They already looked at this guy as, hey, we want to see what he can do at the NHL level. So if we move off someone, no big deal. He can save us that little bit of cash that we need right now and we don't feel like it's a big step down. Also, shocking development considering where I've been with this player in terms of his development and not being in on Liljegren based on everything everybody had told me. Because I wasn't watching Marley's games on the regular, right? Obviously not. But people in the know had told me about things like hockey IQ, like dedication to the sport, like toughness, trust. They were not high. And when he came up with the Leafs, and granted he was a younger player, he looked bad, bad, bad when he first got his debuts with the Leafs. Like, it was really piss poor. I like him. I think that he plays a very, very solid, he's a depth, got a little bit of, like, he can skate, he can shoot. He's really, I trust him a lot in the offensive zone. He made a great play again last night on a goal. Sort of like him. Don't mind seeing him for a little stretch here with Hall. So that's the good part of this. The bad part is Hall looks completely lost to me. I don't know what else to say at this point. I don't want to kill the guy. He's a $2 million defenseman. But the Leafs really did think that they had something here. Last season, if you remember, there was a little buzz in the North about how Justin Hall was emerging as one of the team's best defensemen. And some, Sam McKee, who...
You love talks on Sam real... Under the...
Well, it's fun. It's fun to attack people.
I still haven't met him.
You haven't met Sam?
I don't think
Great
so.
Great guy. One of my best friends in the whole world. But that's the only reason why I'll do this kind of stuff to him. But, like, was going hard in the paint that Justin Hall was the Leafs' best defenseman. And now he looks like the worst defenseman. And maybe, just maybe, Justin Hall is an AHL player. And maybe, just maybe, this was yet another one where, okay, he's only making $2 million, but why did they give him that contract when they gave him that contract? Maybe they ended up having to pay him more this year, but I don't know. Hall looks like a guy who's lost. He losing Bogosian, I do wonder sometimes if he thought to himself, well, now I have to be the Bogosian. But you can't fake being a tough guy in a league full of tough guys. Mm-hmm. And so I think that he's trying to fill that role. He's doing it unsuccessfully. And Muzzin has taken a step back. And so he's not able to just be sheltered in the same way or be as free to play mistake-prone hockey or be as the offensive as he's once been. And it's hurting the both of them. So I think both guys have taken a step back. Hall is eating the majority of the criticism because he's been the worst of the two, and he doesn't have the resume or the track record of Muzzin. But I'm seeing a lot of crappy Muzzin play, too. I'm seeing Muzzin look slower. And if you look at, you want to do some analytics, buddy? Is that something that you like?
Yeah, is that something you might be interested
yeah.
in?
Yeah, is that something you like? They're numbers across the board, and we have a sample of this now. Like, they got over 300 minutes together this year. Their Corsi 4 percentage down, like, multiple percentage points. Goals 4 percentage down over 11%. Their expected goals down over 6%, and their PDO is this is not an unlucky situation. Their advanced stats say these guys suck. When you're watching them play, your eyes are telling you these guys aren't doing enough. So I think it's a 3 because you're at least you're learning this now. At least you're learning this ahead of the deadline. You know that this team can be changed, and I don't think the blue line complexion is going to be the same come season's end. So it's a little bit lower, plus you're getting some nice play from your depth guys. Liljegren's been a good breakout story. Sandin's not as hurt as you once thought.
Rubens has looked like okay. NHL guy, yeah.
I trust Riley and Brody more than I have, even if they had a bad night last night. So you're not relying on those guys the same way as you once were. But come a playoff series, they were the two guys that I was supposed to feel the most confident in, and now I feel no confidence in them whatsoever, and they provide a role you kind of really need. So, yeah, it's a 3.
You want to know the best evidence that Hall's trying to fill the Bogosian role? It's that he grew his hair out and has that goatee now. And it's like, yeah, I got to be the long-haired facial hair guy. Yeah. It's like, no, that's not what we meant by you got to replace Bogosian, man. It's not an aesthetic thing.
Yeah.
Okay, one more concern index, and this will be a – we're going to spin this weird because it's more of a special teams thing in mm-hmm. general.
But, no, I like this stuff.
But half of this is good and half of this is bad. So the four games without Mitch Marner, the Leafs have scored on 53.3% of their power plays.
Mm-hmm.
However, opponents have scored on 40% of their power plays.
This is funny because so last night I tweeted without comment, the Leafs have eight power play goals in four games without Mitch Marner. And listen, the comment is very clear.
Yeah, you knew what you were doing.
I've been wanting Marner off power play one for a while. Like I think it's a bad fit, and I think that they are doing it to placate him and that they are saying, okay, man, we know you're one of our big money players and we're not going to take you off this unit because it feels weird. And we know that when you're in private with the other players, you're going to be worried about it. you are not going to be stoked about being removed from a place where you can get a lot of points. That being said, Marner's shot sucks. And I don't know why we, dance around it. Every offseason he comes into camp and it's like, Marner's been really working on his shot, you guys. Hey, everybody say, it's like when someone gets a new look, that's how we're, everyone say that Tina's shirt is nice. It's like, oh, Mitch, your shot is looking real. Oh, it's heavy. It's heavier. No, it's not. His shot is never going to be heavy. It's never going to be good. I've done this with Bourne before. Find me the player who went from having a muffin to a cannon. It's not like 3-point shooting in the NBA. It's not a skill that maybe you can develop down the line. Like you either have it or you don't kind of thing. Can you improve it a bit? For sure. Can you improve it from one of the worst to one of, like, competent? I don't think so. When the puck goes to Mitch Marner on the power play, a lot of times it dies. And we always talk about, like, unpredictability. He, to me, is the guy who's the most predictable. When it goes on his stick, he doesn't want to shoot it, and he's trying to make that cross-seam pass.
And that's why we were talking about in the preseason when I was like, oh, they're changing who's at the bumper. They're moving the roles around. And part of that was Matthews being out. But we talked about this. Part of it was, like, be a little more dynamic. Be a little less transparent about what you're trying to set up.
Look at the guys that are scoring on the power play now. It's just because guys with even competent shots, they're shooting the puck and they're getting good looks and they're going in the net.
And a couple of these without Spezza
too. Exactly, man. Exactly. So the power play to me is better and they're learning like, hey, man, we got to do this. That being said, the rest of the team is worse. Some people were messaging me like, the penalty kill is also letting in more goals and the team has lost three or four games and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, 0% of me believes that not having Mitch Marner is good for the Leafs. It's just in this one place when they have 2 minutes of time where they have an extra player. Weirdly, the guy who makes almost $11 million, which is kind of uncomfortable with this too. He's not the best fit on a power play. Does that mean he's not a good player? Absolutely not. He's obviously a massive, massive driver for the penalty kill. He's obviously a great fit next to Austin Matthews and an elite player in this league who's a point getter and a line driver. So no, I want Mitch Marner back, but it's like you're learning multiple things at once, I think, if you're a Leafs fan. And if you could just look at this with a brain and instead of just one or the other, like if the Leafs power play stinks, Marner stinks, like one of those. He's a good player. You're learning how much they're missing him. You might come to appreciate the things Mitch does 5-on-5 and on the penalty kill more. But also, we should be looking at this power play and saying, hey, if this continues, not at 50%, that's outrageous. But if this continues where a whole bunch of different players are scoring and the power play looks like it's as dominant as it's been when him out of the lineup, it's something you got to consider when he comes back. And if he really is going to buy into this team concept of winning, then say, hey, man, you're running power play too. It's your unit. You'll get some time. And when you do, prove to us that you can maybe elevate other players because you're paid almost $11 million and you're kind of supposed to do that anyways.
Yeah, and meanwhile, we'll lean on you even harder on the penalty kill. All right, so concern index wrap, you're quite concerned at Matthews not being quite as dominant at 5-on-5 without Marner.
One for Matthews.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Muzzin-Hall pairing was a 3. Jack Campbell was a 5 for the potential fatigue. And then special teams, did he put a number on it or no?
I don't really know I guess the concern index would be like a weird one to do there because it's like my concern of when Marner comes back healthy, going back to power play one and slowing it down would be the like way I would measure this.
But also he's going to get that penalty kill back to a top five unit.
Yeah,
hopefully.
Exactly. But then the rest of the stuff, like the concern index is like, what? Am I concerned that I'm learning Marner is valuable? Like, no, I don't really know what I'm quantifying here.
I'm concerned that the $11 million guy is
good.
Has a real value to this team.
Yeah.
Negative concern. concern.
I just want to clarify one last thing, too, sure. In the concern index. My reason for five with Jack Campbell is because he's the team's MVP so far this season. Like, and I believe he is good, and I want to see that guy make it to the end of the season and be the goaltender that we've seen so far this year. And so that's all. It's a five just because there was some writing on the wall. It's like you have to do that little bit of detective work and go, remember, they didn't try to go cheap, and they really could have. They could have said, man, Jack Campbell's $1 million, and if we just find, you know, one other guy, and we got Hutchinson, and we got Wall, and we can kind of cycle these guys through and try to figure it out. It's like, they didn't do that. They went out and got Mrazek. 3-year contract, almost $4 million. Like, that's weighty. That's not a nobody. That's a somebody. Yeah. That's telling you what? They looked at what Jack Campbell did as fraudulent last year? I don't think so, because he played really well, and he's playing really well this year. So if they did it for that reason, like getting Mrazek because they didn't believe in what they were doing, then that's a huge screw-up by the organization, like a massive misread by them on Jack Campbell. You traded for Jack Campbell. You've known him since junior. He came with pedigree. He performed well. He adjusted his play, and he was playing in front of a better defensive core and like showed up in the playoffs, and you still didn't believe he was good? I don't buy that.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case.
I think it was the fatigue factor. I think it's like, and I'm not saying anything that's that astute. I think it's something that we all agree on. But ultimately, it's like we've been doing this thing where we haven't really noticed Mrazek not being there because he's been so brilliant and Wall has been competent and it hasn't been Hutchinson, let's be honest. Like, not just having it just not be Hutchinson is a great story.
Yeah.
Now that there's a little bit of something where he has one night where he looks tired and a stretch where he's letting in some goals, now everyone's back to reality going, oh boy, let's get this guy that they're actually paying real money to in the net some nights and give Jack a blow.
I wonder, too, if there was like a little bit of a bet that, hey, if we start the season with Mrazek and Campbell splitting time, maybe that Campbell negotiation is a little more team friendly.
Maybe.
But you're past that now. You want to take a break and then talk some Raptors?
Yeah.
Okay. So coming up after the break, Ailish is not here today. Again, send her some nice messages if you're listening to this. I'm going to do the A-list. Ailish sent in a remote A-list.
Oh.
I'm not taking the thing. I'm just reading them on her behalf. We're going to do a little B-list.
Coming up after the break, I'm going to cancel the A-list and get Blake to do Raptors stuff.
Yeah, we're going to talk Raptors as well. There's a lot of Raptors stuff going out there. There's a lot of NBA stuff going out there.
No offense, Ailish. If you're awake right now and you come on, we'll do the A-list.
Ailish, if you're awake right now, what the hell are you doing?
Well, she's like, I'm trapped in this vicious cycle of waking up early, is what she's saying.
Yeah, or she's listening on the podcast and being like, guys, stop talking.
These are the A-list. We're like, no.
Yeah, we're gonna see how that goes after the break. It's Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Good morning. The Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Blake Murphy. JD Bunkus. Ailish is at home. Ailish is off today. Mm-hmm. She sent in an A-list remotely. We're going to just zoom through it. It's, I guess we'll call it the B-list.
Now it's time for the B-list.
Bees.
I'm so disappointed we didn't get, though, the Nicolas Cage. I got bees. Like,
I wanted the Arrested Development. I requested the Arrested Development in there.
Beans?
Yeah. We'll see who makes more honey. So the big one here that Ailish sent in, the women are now in the next NHL game, which is very cool. Simone Biles, Times Athlete of the Year. And Marc-Andre Fleury getting the Fleury chance as he becomes the fourth goalie to win 500 games, doing so in Montreal last night.
Yeah, that was cool. I was really glad that he was in Montreal. And you know what? I take a lot of, I crap on the Habs and I crap on their fans in terms of like, they're the ultimate most wishy-washy fans, in my opinion, in terms of like, they're the kings and queens of, if the team is good, they're like, we're the best. And if as soon as the team shows one sign of struggling, they're like, I hate this team. I don't care. I don't even care about this team. And it's like, okay, yeah, for sure. And then
they
flip.
Are you auditioning for Bond Cop, Bad Cop 3?
Yeah, oui.
Yeah.
I could be Bad Cop.
And one way, and just to wrap up today's B-list, Ailish also,
but the point of it was just simply to say, they get hockey, though. Like, last night, you watched that Leafs game, and I thought it was, like, free sedative night at Scotiabank. I'm like, what are we doing here? It's like, everybody that comes in, sedative, until the third period when everybody's liquored up properly, then we don't get anything from that fan, like, or from that crowd. Like, nothing. You need the liquor. Honestly, if you care about the Leafs, you got to knock the drink prices down just so that we get some energy in the building. But when you go to a game at the Bell Center, man, do they know how to watch a hockey game. And so for him to do that there is incredible. And also, I just quickly, I don't have anything on the Biles thing because, like, she's obvious to me in terms of something like that. Like, her story is very, very clear. We don't have enough time. But the women in hockey games thing is like, why wasn't this already happening? But good for them for doing it. But this is like such an obvious win for them where I'm like, yeah, you know who also can play video games? Like little girls.
Yeah.
You know, where representation is like the easiest thing ever.
They did it with WNBA a couple seasons
ago. Yeah, it was like, because like my friend Natalie Spooner, she posted about it. And I went, you guys don't already have this? Like, I haven't played video games for a long time, sports video games. It's like, now that I don't live with dudes, there's no, I don't do the online thing. No. So I didn't know. But so to find out that this is just happening, I was like, you had all these easy wins right in front of you and you never just took the layups?
Yeah, why could I play as Jokerit of the Swedish league
dude,
10 years ago, but
exactly.
Not? And then Ailish wrapped up the B-list by sending me a Logan Roy meme that you would appreciate. The don't talk about things you don't understand.
Yeah. Ailish and I are in a meme off when it comes to like who is going to be sending the best succession
memes. The
worst
text message thread.
Yeah. No.
all right. So that was Ailish's remote A-list. Okay. We got to talk a little Raptor stuff now. Now that we'll do the proper B-list and it's
hey, Ailish.
A list of your trades that I'm going to shoot down.
Yeah. Hey, Ailish, this is what I have to say to you. Logan Roy's most famous catchphrase, right?
Oh, wow.
How about that?
Wow.
Yeah. How about that, Ailish?
Terrible.
You're gone.
That's awful of you.
I think she would appreciate that.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, so the Toronto Raptors get back in action tonight against the New York Knicks.
Uh-huh.
We already know OG, Ken Birch are out. Of course, Goran Dragic is out. Justin Champagne and Precious Achiuwa are questionable. The Knicks are good to go, though.
Okay. Can I just start with this before we start jumping into, because you and I are going to do some like deeper dive NBA stuff today and I have fake trades.
Yes.
I have fake trades. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I have fake trades. What is going on with these? Like, why is this so murky and mysterious? Like, it's gone from OG is really in a bad way to he's actually, it turns out he's just fine. He'll be back tomorrow. And then it's like, we don't know when the hell we're going to see him. And Precious has been sort of in and out. And you go, is he healthy or is he not? Like, what are we doing here?
Mm-hmm.
And then same thing with Kem. Like, all these guys, it feels very mysterious. And I know that that's the way, like, injuries are going in terms of 2021, 22. Like, teams are more protective of this information now more than ever, but this is just a little odd to me that all of these timelines are like, we'll see.
Yeah, so this will be the 11th missed game for both OG and Birch. OG in a row and Birch over two different stretches with the same issue. And if Precious was out, it would be his fifth missed game over two different stints with the shoulder thing. So it's not great. I don't have an answer for it. They're also canceling practice due to health and safety protocols and everything. Mm-hmm. So this is not a... it's not a team with a great depth and a great certainty of lineup right now. I don't have an answer for the injury stuff. I mean, I know that injuries aren't always linear and sometimes you have setbacks and stuff like that. But the OG one is, I mean, both of them are concerning. Like the OG one, he was close to playing and then took a big step back and there's no explanation why. And Ken Birch, you know, this is something, there's no structural damage, but the swelling's not going down. That is a little worrisome.
The worst.
So a couple years ago, I know, and this is
you just gave this guy a contract.
Yeah. So in the 2016-2017 season, Patrick Patterson missed like 17 straight games and was like day to day the whole time. It feels like, or it wasn't 17 straight. It was like 17 over a stretch of 20 or something, 25 or something like that. But either way, he was in and out of the lineup with some random knee thing that he ultimately needed surgery on in the offseason as a free agent, which sucked. It feels a little like that. Like, and sometimes, like, I'm not saying this is the medical staff's fault or the coaching staff's fault or anything. Like, sometimes, I remember there was a guy with the 905 in their first year, and he was, like, primed for a call-up, and then he just, like, kept getting sore knees. And there wasn't a structural reason for the sore knees. And he tried rest, and then eventually did, like, PRP injections and stuff, and, like, he got well enough that he could play again, but not at like a high G League level or even a high international level. Mm. Sometimes bodies are just weird. I really hope that's not the case here. And it's just like with the health and safety stuff, an abundance of caution, because not only is it hurting you and costing you games right now, it's costing you, again, I'll keep going back to this stat, Fred, OG, Pascal, Scotty, 52 minutes together this year. You still haven't found out anything about what those four look like together. And having all these injuries is probably disrupting your fake trades, JD.
Not really.
Oh, okay.
Not like the fake trades are, I mean, I guess actually one of them you can't do right now. The big one.
I mean, you can.
I don't think the other team would do it.
Yeah, they probably want to take a look at that hip or knee.
A hip.
Okay. So it's an OG trade.
Uh-huh. Do you want to start with my OG trade? Like, I feel bad. I still feel so guilty about the OG trade in terms of, like, the enthusiasm in which I had for it, where I was like, no, yeah. You got
to
do this.
Do you want a spoiler? I'm going to say no to it. So
okay. I think I figured you would, and that's why I actually really like this one, is because I think I can make a pretty good case. Okay. I want to know just quickly before this one. This is just the first fake trade. This is the appetizer. So the Raptors need a big, and that is the theme of this trade machine. Like, you got to get a center, all right? You just have to. This is just enough. And I also didn't do a trade that involves Pascal Siakam, because I just think that that's so played out and so tired. And to be honest, I actually think Siakam's trade value is, I have no idea what it actually is.
It's just not an in-season thing.
No, I don't know what the hell his value is right now. I think that it still needs to be rebuilt. I kind of feel as though Siakam could probably benefit from a change of scenery. Like, I do. I just think from a player standpoint, if I was him, I actually would almost welcome it at this point, given all the pressure that's on me in this market, the way that I was sort of viewed as the Kawhi successor. I always thought that one of the great things about the preseason trade that I did with Siakam to the Warriors was that him going to the Warriors and all of a sudden being, you know, the fourth best player, potentially the rest of the league ends up looking at you and going, you are incredible. We love you here. You're amazing. There's Siakam. Look at what happens with Wiggins. Mm-hmm. And he's way better than Wiggins. So, yeah, I think that there was something for him, but you're right. It's not an in-season trade. It's not that. Raptors need a big. There's a couple big men out there of consequence. The first one is Yusuf Nurkic.
Portland Trailblazers.
Uh-huh.
27 years old.
Uh-huh.
Still
pending unrestricted free agent.
Pending unrestricted free agent. You acquire his bird rights in trade. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much you want to pay. He's a guy who struggled to stay healthy as well and is almost 300 pounds, but he's also on the rest of season at $12 million. And if he's willing to stick around for that kind of price, he's very good.
He's definitely going to want more than the $12 million. That being said,
stay,
I don't know.
Stay on the court then.
That's what I was going to say to you is, do you feel as though if you get his medicals, this whole trade comes down to the idea of you get the medicals and you feel like there's a way for you to keep him healthier. I still feel like Nurkic, and I know we oversimplify these things, but he kind of feels like to me the number one guy in the league where you go, hey man, at this point, you got to try the lose weight thing because you've been massive this entire time and the injuries keep happening. We got to lean you out a little bit and try to keep you on the floor.
He has played every game this year.
Yep.
So that's a notch in the right direction.
Good.
But yeah, 45 games total over the last two seasons. And then a lot of missed time early in his career as well.
If you follow the NBA, you know that one of the Portland Trailblazers' stories in terms of why they keep believing in this thing is because Nurkic is always hurt. And they go, well, when Nurkic comes back, he fixes the defense.
Collins
and he's,
or exactly. Whoever. It's always something.
He's the guy.
And yeah. And that's why guys are on the block now in Portland, allegedly, because they have a new front office regime. So what is your Nurkic trade?
The Toronto Raptors receive Yusuf Nurkic.
Mm-hmm.
They trade Chris Boucher, Malachi Flynn, and Yuta Watanabe, and also future picks.
What future picks?
Seconds. Multiple, though. You can't give up a first. If you do give up a first, it's going to be heavily protected, and it's going to be a future pick. But that is the offer.
I would say that's a little too much for a pending UFA in a season where I don't think your upside is that high.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the awkward spot the Raptors are in, is you want to add and you want to fortify this team, but you've spent the last couple of years pulling from your future to supplement the existing core, and you now, like, Malachi Flynn is the best prospect you could throw in a trade that's not Scottie Barnes.
So this is the problem.
I would be okay with a Flynn-Boucher framework.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about throwing extra. I know there's seconds, like, you can find. Like, they got 2 seconds for Matt Thomas and Terrence Davis last year. It's not like they're super hard to come by. But I don't know about multiple. You could probably also do that without Utah. Just
I don't think that they would say yes without you. See, this is the position I'm in if I'm Portland. I say no to this trade immediately. I'm like, there's no chance. We can get back a better asset than anything that you're offering here. If I'm
and
the Raptors.
Nurkic's bird rights are valuable.
Exactly. That's why I'm saying I think that they can do much better than that. I'm just saying if you're Toronto, you got to throw out some type of a trade package sure. in this form. I don't care about the second round picks if I can get Yusuf Nurkic. And you know what? As much as I like Yuta Watanabe, he's actually the focal point of this trade. I'm saying to Portland, hey, I'm giving you a bunch of younger players. Boucher, not so much. But Malachi Flynn, Yuta Watanabe. Flynn's a guy who comes from out west, needs a bit of a reset. You might be able to take this guy and turn him into more of a scorer with a new coach and a new look. And great, he's a former first-round pick. It's something to sell to your fans. Watanabe,
and,
though.
Sorry, go ahead. Just if you're Portland,
yeah.
The rumor of the Ben Simmons discussion centered around CJ and one of their bench guards.
Mm-hmm.
So you restock the backcourt a little bit that way.
Exactly. I just think that Flynn, I'm not really sure what type of an asset he is, but if I'm a team and we're looking around at what the Yusuf Nurkic deals are, I'm saying if I'm Portland, obviously the number one thing I'm coveting is a first-round pick. That's the number one thing I want because they're going into a rebuild. They're going into a retool. I don't think you're going to get an actual serious younger asset player. You're going to be looking at the types like Malachi Flynn who are redraft candidate, first round picks that are going to be thrown in as salary cap fodder. You can probably do a bit better than Chris Boucher and Yuta Watanabe in terms of like a depth piece. But Yuta, I think, is good. And if I'm the Raptors, I'm trying to sell high on him. I'm saying, hey, we already have a bunch of small forward depth right now. This is a place that we can take from. We don't want to lose Yuta Watanabe. He plays very, very well. In fact, I actually really like this player, but he's also on a one-year contract. And what is his negotiation going to look like after this year? Are you really going to pay for another guy who kind of profiles a little bit as something that you already have? I don't know. If OG's healthy, if you're keeping Siakam, if you're doing the precious thing, like if you're having Scotty Barnes, I'm not sure what the future looks like for Utah or even if he would really want to be here. So I'm throwing him in this trade. I'm trying to sell high on him. I'm selling low on Flynn. I'm looking at that as a cancellation. Chris Boucher is a nothing asset to me. It's a salary match and he's gone the next year. And I'm saying to Portland, because they look at it and go, we don't know how to sell this to our fans. I'm saying we're going to throw in a couple of picks. One of those second rounders is going to be like 2028. It's going to be a million miles away. And then one of them is going to be in this year's draft or next year's draft where we profile as kind of a bad team. Do we get this deal done? I think that Portland says no. I think that it's not maybe the most sensical for Toronto given some of the injury risks, but it was something where I go, this is the appropriate risk profile. I've said profile like 20 times, but that's what I'm doing.
This is only one for me. If you are very certain you can get back in the playoff picture and think these guys are closer to health. Okay. Give me another one quickly. Cause we got to go before Charles Davis comes in.
This is the big one. I'm proud of this.
Pacers.
Trade. So be nice to me.
Pacers.
Yeah. I actually don't covet Sabonis the most. I covet Miles Turner. Miles Turner has always been a player that I have watched and gone, that guy's good. And I used to think that he was a little soft at times. And I wondered, oh, maybe that's what it is. And now I find myself just really liking this guy. And I know that he's quote unquote like a sexy blogger pick. But that quote that he had the other day where he said, what did he say? He said it yesterday. It was like,
yeah, he's like, they only see me as a high-end role player and like the writing's on the wall and I think I can do more.
Yeah. And guess who else thinks he can do more? This guy right here. So much so that J.D. Ujiri or J.D. Webster, whichever you prefer, Bobby Bunkus.
Prefer none of those things.
Bobby Bunkus, you know, like that?
Yeah.
So he calls the Indiana Pacers and says, listen, we have a guy who might have been the most improved candidate, and you have a guy who is going to be probably winning that award this year in Miles Turner. OG Anunoby and Malachi Flynn for Miles Turner and O'Shea Brissett.
No. Need more back if you're Toronto.
Immediately you do it. Okay, here's the case. I need to give you the case because I know a lot of Raptors fans hear that and they're freaking out and they're going, you can't trade OG. He's our special little boy. One, if you're the Pacers, I actually don't think that this is like, I think this is a good deal for you. You're getting back somebody who is a high ceiling defensive player, might have more to give you offensively, plays the position that is one of the most important in the NBA, which is, you know, 3-and-D wing, who has stones and also played for the Hoosiers.
Mm-hmm.
You're bringing him back home.
Oh, I like it from the Pacers side.
Okay, so that's the Pacers side. You're also getting a redraft candidate in Malachi Flynn. He gets to go somewhere else. Raptors bring back O'Shea Brissett, who, you know, is on a two-year, very, very cheap contract, but he's just like a bench guy who I think can actually kind of play, and he goes back with Nick Nurse. It's a program. You're just grabbing him. I don't even really need the Malachi Flynn, O'Shea Brissett thing. I actually think that the Pacers don't say yes straight up for OG Anunoby. Here's why.
Oh, they absolutely do.
Here's why I'm afraid. This is why I'm doing this trade. At what point are we just going to say that OG Anunoby is an injury guy? Like, when are we going to start to admit this? He was injured in college. He missed the championship run with an injury. And now he's got another injury where we're going.
He missed the championship run because his appendix exploded.
He had three injuries where he's missed time. He's had three significant I missed time injuries. And if you're looking at this and you're the Raptors, you're saying, are we keeping OG or are we keeping Siakam? I think that's eventually a question. I really do. I don't think that it's going to work with all three of these guys. I just don't. Not if you're going to try to add a big man of consequence. I believe in the Miles Turner ceiling. I think that he is a really good player. If I'm you then, if I'm like really poorly doing this job as a general manager, then I'm asking the Pacers then maybe to throw in, again, that we're talking about second round picks or maybe some type of a protected first in the future. But I actually think this is a done deal. I think
OG's better when he's playing. Mm-hmm. He's a little cheaper. He's locked up longer.
Yep.
And he's younger.
He's younger by a year.
That's too many things tilting in OG's direction.
He's younger by a year. He's got the injury history. It's a position where you're dealing from strength. And Miles Turner, so far this season, and not even just this season, shot block guy, can create his own shot, fits in well with what you have right now. I'm saying if you believe in your core, if you believe in what Scotty Barnes can become, what Fred VanVleet is, and what Pascal Siakam is, then you're trying to win in the like next to immediate future. Like, this isn't just a long-term plan.
Something that's worth mentioning here, though, Turner's also been an injury guy.
Yep. Not like OG. OG, three times. Well, how many times are we going to do this?
Turner only played 47 games last year.
If I'm the Raptors, I have to consider this deal. I have to look at this, and I have to say that we're properly evaluating OG here. Like, I think that Raptors fans overvalue him a little. Like, I just think that this is something that's happened now for a while. I'm doing this trade.
I like Miles Turner a lot. You can go back and find some podcasts where that draft year I'm all over Miles Turner and like him, and I think he'd be a great fit with the Raptors.
Perfect fit.
Straight up for OG is not... That's not doing it.
So what do you think OG's value is then? Because we're talking about a guy who's like having a much better statistical season than OG Anunoby, who like plays a position where it's like we're kind of having this like renaissance of, hey, now these big men are valued a little bit more differently.
Is he having a better statistical season than OG?
For sure.
He's averaging 13 and 7.
Yeah. And look at like his defensive numbers, his blocks.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, defensively he's great, but
That's
OG, OG's averaging 25 and 3
on a really bad Raptors team where they ask him to shoot the ball a lot.
Sure, but guess what team Miles Turner's on?
But Miles Turner is
really
what
bad Pacers.
But what is he on his team offensively right now? Four.
I know. What?
Four.
In terms of what volume?
No, like I'm looking at like guys that have the ball in their hands when he's like team is fully
healthy. And he's been remarkably efficient and leads the league in block percentage. I'm not saying Turner's not great.
I think those two guys are closer than you're giving them credit for.
Well, I think that the age, the contract length, the contract dollar amount, all that stuff tilts in OG's favor, so you need more back.
It's a year difference. The contract is the one where I looked at it, but I said if you're trading OG, you're doing it through the lens of, hey, this guy gets hurt a lot. Can we trade this guy who gets hurt? Do we think he's going to play all four of those seasons healthy?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, maybe not 82 games healthy, but he only makes $16 million.
I'm so glad that you disagreed with this trade.